Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Back from a vacation. Rested, refreshed, missed you. Missed doing the program, kind of. I guess missed Ryan Hickey, the executive producer. Great to be here. Great 2 hours lined up for you. I find myself having done a 180 on Shedeur Sanders. I really want the guy to succeed. I'm rooting for him. And I suppose the fifth round draft selection, the fact that he just fell and fell and fell, shouldn't make this feel like breaking news. But man, when did he become the absolute underdog? Things not going great in Cleveland. We'll catch you up on Shedeur. Jerry Jones is going to be Jerry Jones. And if you're a Cowboys fan, that is very bad news. If you're the rest of us, it's borderline amusing. We will let you listen to Jerry tell on himself in about 20 minutes. I was on vacation last week. Great job by folks holding it down, including Ryan Hickey, that executive producer that I kind of missed. Ryan underscore Hickey, the number three. He's put together five things that I guess that I need to know. Maybe you need to know. That's what the segment's called. That I missed from my vacation gallivanting about Central and Northern California with my wife and kids. Man, people road rage a lot. I got the bird, I think, four times, just randomly. So I'll give you a little vacation update, too. One lady in a van is still giving me the bird somewhere, I think. I don't even know what happened. I was just driving along minding my business. Maybe she didn't like the look of my face. That certainly happens. Maybe that's just what it was. Kurt Heelan. You like the look of his NBA content. Going to be on the show in an hour. NBC Sports NBA guru. NBC Sports NBA guru. Buyer sells coming up. Phone number is always 888-710-4ISN. Give us a call. 888-710-4ISN. Social media. Sports Writer Sports. R-E-I-T-E-R. Those of you that have been listening to this program since I debuted here on what is now the Infinity Sports Network, back in, 2017, we'll know, and those of you that have been listening to me on radio before that will know, that it is in late July, early August, when I become a sucker. I have a 3 or 4 week period where I'm a real idiot, and I'll fall for anything. That lady that was giving me the bird in her van in Central California should have pulled me over and tried to sell me an elevator nowhere. I would have bought it. Often, this unstoppable force within me that makes me believe things that I shouldn't manifests itself this time of year in Hard Knocks. Whatever awful team, by definition, by the way, whatever awful team, especially back in the day, was on Hard Knocks, I was in. Oh, that coach is really funny and cool, and the quarterback's got swagger, and the team's going to win 11 games. And when was Rodgers on Hard Knocks? 2 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was on there with the Jets. And I came on these airwaves knowing I'm an idiot, July 25th to August 15th, and bought it and believed it and thought he was a changed guy who was going to work in New York. What a likable, charming dude. And man, did I get slapped in the face by my own stupidity. And I caught myself falling for that again over the last couple days. Because Aaron Rodgers has broken out the charm. Aaron Rodgers has gone full graciousness. And the way that this has manifested itself, the way that I got okie-dokied almost again, the way that I had to catch myself when I was breathlessly, okay, I'm going to open the show on Monday, and Aaron Rodgers is like, he's doing the right things, and he's being a good guy, and he's learned his lesson, he's older, he's got aches and pains, but he wants to win with the Steelers, and the Tomlin way is already working. Wrong. You're an idiot, Ryder. You're an idiot. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. I've been at CAA parties with Aaron Rodgers, just holding court. Charming guy. I've seen him when he's being a jerk face, as my kid likes to say when I tell him not to swear, to the media, suddenly turn on the charm, and certainly I have fallen for the Hard Knocks okie-dokie 2 years ago where I believed the Jets were going to win 18 games in a 17-game season. I don't even know how it was possible, but I was in. And this time it comes because Terry Bradshaw, look, you can like Rodgers, you can not like Rodgers. Some of you, and it's a reasonable perspective, some of you think that I'm too hard on Rodgers, that I'm not giving him the credit that he deserves, that I don't understand, and maybe this will prove to be true, that the Steelers and their inevitability of winning seasons and their lack of really even reasonably adequate quarterback play since Roethlisberger went away, and Tomlin's excellence is all going to add up to the fact they're going to be great this year, and people like me, when it comes to Rodgers, are going to be eating crow. And if I do, great. Good for Aaron Rodgers, good for Mike Tomlin. But I've fallen for this way too many times to actually think you're right. I don't think you're right. I think that Aaron Rodgers is self-involved. I think Aaron Rodgers, even when he was one of the three best quarterbacks in football in Green Bay, when he won back-to-back MVPs, was no longer worth the trouble that he put his team through. Individually, he was great. Even then, I didn't think he was worth it. Neither did the Packers, by the way. And they were right. And we are many years down the road. I don't think he's good enough. But people like me can say this, and people can dismiss it. And reasonable folks who don't get okie-dokied every August like I do can have different views and perspectives. But Terry Bradshaw is a different kind of character. Terry Bradshaw is a legend as a player and quarterback. He is a legend as a broadcaster. And if you were to draw up a list of just human beings on the face of the earth who have weight, whose words matter, who mix it's almost like Charles Barkley, whose excellence mixed with candor equals their football perspective matters. Forget Barkley. Because Bradshaw's won 1, 2, 3, 4, if I have this right, titles, Super Bowl championships. Guy's amazing. And I'm just going to play this for you because this was a while back. It was on a radio show in Arkansas, 103.7 The Buzz. It was with a friend of Bradshaw's. That's why he's on this station. So we got really candid. And Terry Bradshaw said out loud, as a legend, as maybe the single most important voice in football, what we, not all, most of us think about Aaron Rodgers being a Steeler.
That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to do, bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me?
I mean, that's not the Steelers' way, right?
No, man, that guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go somewhere
you.
And chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
Look, man, Terry could be wrong. I could be wrong. If you agree with me, you could be wrong. We ain't wrong, right? We know it, right? We're in the circle. We're in the circle, trust. We get it. And still, over the weekend, Aaron Rodgers sat down with Kyle Brandt, NFL Network, and they did a little sit-down interview, and I forgot for a moment that Aaron Rodgers is not just a supernaturally talented quarterback. And he is. He is. By the way, so is Joe Montana, who I hung out with once at a lounge when we were both hungover after the Olympics. That doesn't mean Joe Montana should be rolled out there to be a Bear, or a Niner, or a Chief again, or anything. No, Rodgers isn't just a ridiculously talented QB, or was, asterisk. He's a charming dude. And you probably know this, but having worked in media for a long time, having been around a lot of very impressive athletes, and in another life, 20 years ago, having covered politics, remarkable charm is not always attached to people who are the most forthcoming, honest, and candid. It's not. It's not always. And that charm from Rodgers is real, and you saw this with Kyle Brandt. So I'm going to let you listen, because these were the words. We got a couple clips here for you, where I started to nod my head. Literally, oh my, Rodgers. Okay, so if he's not attacking Bradshaw because he's responding to Terry's comments, and maybe he gets it. And there's just no, man, none of that is right. This is the yearly Aaron Rodgers charm fest for 3 days that fools idiots like me. It starts with Aaron Rodgers saying that what he really wants is to be the bestest of best of friends with Terry Bradshaw.
I whisper to the gods every single day. Terry's a legend. He's an absolute legend. He won 4 Super Bowls. He's had a legendary career in the media. But Terry, like a lot of people, doesn't know me. He's got an idea of what he thinks about me based on what I've done, the documentary, what I've said, mm-hmm. Darkness Retreat, whatever the hell you mm-hmm. want to talk mm-hmm. about. I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level. And I feel like if he gave me a chance to get to know him, then we'd have a good friendship.
No, you wouldn't. Terry Bradshaw would see right through you. Man, I'm glad that I was able to clear my head, because I don't know how you just heard that clip. I just heard that as a bunch of BS garbage. But when I first saw it, I literally was going, man, maybe Rodgers figured it out. He found some humility. They're going to win 13 games. I fall for this every year. He doubled down. And look, Rodgers is smart. You can attack me, right? You can attack Bart Winkler, who apparently, Aaron, have you seen this? Aaron Rodgers visited Bart's X page. You know, you can go now and see the most famous person. You can attack the media, which, by the way, you're entitled to do. A lot of you probably do. I do it sometimes. We all get mad at different parts of the media. Aaron Rodgers has made himself an expert at saying the media is A, B, and C. I don't think that he has afforded them the same grace he requires of Terry Bradshaw. Get to know us. You don't know us individually. You've heard the things that are wrong. The difference being, most of us don't have documentaries that are made about us, and we're not covered every day. It's a little easier, I'm going to state the obvious, to get a feel for Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers is obsessed with, in love with. I'm shocked he hasn't proposed to. This is an upcoming wife. I don't know who she is. Is enamored by the lights and the microphone. Aaron Rodgers, look, if I were a team recruiting Aaron Rodgers, well, first I'd run the other direction. But what I would have done is just thrown a microphone at my facility, and he would have just, he's there. He just appears. You know that State Farm commercial where something goes wrong, and then one of the guys appears? They're really bad commercials. Caitlin Clarkson one. Hey, did somebody say, just drop a microphone. And it's like Aaron Rodgers is there. Hey, anybody looking for me? Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. He hasn't changed. And he's good at this because he went on, and again, you can attack me, you can attack Bart Winkler, you can attack ESPN, you can attack whoever you want to. It's really hard to attack Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw's credibility. Terry Bradshaw, depending on how you want to measure it, has four times championships, the career of Aaron Rodgers. Terry Bradshaw, and it's hard to do in any business, especially football, is unflinchingly honest, doesn't always mean accurate, right? But unflinchingly honest and widely respected. And it's hard to be both. And so Rodgers, understanding charm, understanding selling a version of himself that I don't think is the real one, doubled down on, man, Terry and these guys are absolute heroes of mine.
For me, I have nothing but the utmost amount of respect and deference for what the greats have done, because they laid the foundation for us to be able to play in this great game, to be paid like kings, and to carry on the tradition of excellence that guys like the Bradshaws of the world in the 70s and Bart Starr in the 60s and Lombardi and Joe Montana and Steve Young and Troy Aikman and Brett Favre and all the greats that have been over, Tom Brady, you know, we're standing on the backs of those guys. So I'd love to get to know Terry on a deeper level if he's open to it, and maybe we can go chew some bark or whatever the hell he's talking about together.
I mean, he is a charming guy. Even there in that clip, having steeled myself, I found myself, could you feel it wherever you're listening? A brief moment going, I mean, maybe Aaron's changed. Aaron hasn't changed. Rodgers is Rodgers. And look, you should, and you can, praise Terry Bradshaw. And if you take over the mantle, even for a year, if that's what it is, of the quarterback and the face of the franchise for the Steelers, it would behoove you, and be the right thing, to praise and lean into and not, you didn't even pick a fight, continue a fight with one of the most legendary players of all time to wear that jersey. The deal is, Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean most of these things. Like, he didn't mean most of the things that he said in New York. He is managing you and me very effectively. And do not fall for what I almost fell for, this idea that there's a humbled Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be easier to coach, he's going to be a different guy than he was with the Jets, he's going to be a different guy than he was with the Green Bay Packers, he's going to be a different guy than he's been with the media, he's going to be a different guy. People, I think Dr. Laura said this, remember her? I don't know, Dubuque, Iowa, 1999, she's on the radio. People, not just Dubuque, Iowa, people don't change. People don't change. Aaron Rodgers hasn't changed. So this is a public service announcement, not just to you, to me. This is me, 2025 Bill Ryder, remembering the idiot from the last few years that fell for this stuff, that fell for this silliness. Aaron Rodgers is really good at public relations. Aaron Rodgers has never been great at teammate relations, whatever some of his former teammates, including my friend Brady Bepinga, tell you. He's not that guy. It's not going to work. Don't fall for it. All right, good to be back. Almost fell for it. Honestly, if I didn't have the clarity of a little time off, a little vacation with Lori and the kids, I might have fallen for it. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Well, I'm going to catch up with Ryan Higgy because I miss that guy. I'm going to tell you whether I chewed on some bark because I'm in California. I'll eat anything, but bark, I guess you put some chocolate on it and told me it was edible. I might go for it. I'll give you a little vacation recap. And Shedeur Sanders, things are not trending well, it's not an exaggeration to say his career could end before it begins. I'll explain next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
If he hires someone to be a movie reviewer, maybe he could hire you if he branches out to pop culture, Ryan. Now, you're like, Jaws, that movie is dumb. There's a shark. Why is a shark in the water? You don't even know what it's, you know? Like, oh, that's iconic. You didn't even know. Who proved this? Who's Steven Spielberg? Steven Spiel stupid, huh?
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Wait, is this country?
Country.
Ryan Hickey mixing it up a little bit. I will admit,
all genres.
This is a cultural blind spot for me.
Myself as well. I will say this
like
is
hockey. I don't know.
One of the few songs I do know, and so I kind of run it back once in a while.
I will say this. I should know country because when I was in high school, before I could drive, maybe shortly after when I was young, I used to go country line dancing outside of Dubuque, Iowa, because that was where all the girls were. And in retrospect, there was a period of my life where I judged myself, and then I remember, well, I was 15, 16, and I was trying to meet girls, and they, you know, they weren't hanging out at my house, so I went country line dancing.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
You got any of those moves left in the old tank?
I didn't have moves in the tank back then. I'd be turning the wrong direction and just, you know, they'd be doing stuff with their legs. I didn't know. Would you like to go on a date? No? Okay. Great time. Great time at the country line dancing in Dubuque, Iowa, circa 1994. Bill Ryder with you. Hello. What's up? Good morning. Not all dreams come true. Some of us go to country line dancing to meet, you know, a 17-year-old goddess, and we don't. Some of us think we're going to have a shot in an NFL career, and it turns out that is, especially at the quarterback position, any position. But quarterback is such an obvious place, such a stark spotlight that we see this. It's not easy to make it. Trevor Lawrence, he's gotten paid but hasn't succeeded. Remember Jamarcus Russell? I mean, you can just go down the list. It's not easy. And it felt like, I don't know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that Shedeur Sanders was going to be a star. Or at least the expectation was there was a long stretch during his college career at Colorado where Deion's kid, we thought, would be the number one pick in the draft. Or at least the top quarterback taken. And then it was, well, maybe the second quarterback taken. And the reality is, having fallen all the way to the fifth round, and he's been really impressive and humble about it, that wouldn't be easy. It would be embarrassing. I'm impressed by the young man. I'm rooting for him. But it doesn't matter. I'm rooting for Ryan Hickey, too. It doesn't mean he's going to play quarterback for the Bears someday. Well, that's not the way that it works. And he ended up in a situation in Cleveland that's far from ideal. First of all, Cleveland's a hot mess. It's where quarterback career is going to die. The other thing, as you know, that made Shador's situation problematic is he wasn't just drafted as a quarterback in the fifth round of this past draft. He was drafted two rounds after Dylan Gabriel was taken, creating a situation where you basically got too many quarterbacks and an opportunity to win a spot on the roster and maybe a starting spot because Joe Flacco is, how old is he, Ryan? 82? Oh, he's 82. He's 82 years old, but that's kind of the reliable backup. Kenny Pickett is or was, we thought, the guy that, not a huge lead, and they've talked out of Cleveland, the coaching staff, about the fact that they don't know who the starter is, but Pickett was getting most of the first team reps. Now, he got hurt, so we'll see kind of what that means, if anything. Gabriel's had some opportunities, some first team reps. Shedeur Sanders has not had a first team rep yet. I know that over the weekend, on Saturday, he had a pretty good stretch where he had three touchdown passes, one of them's making the rounds. You're playing third-teamers. You're playing guys like Shedeur Sanders who are largely not going to be on the team. And if they are going to be afterthoughts. And I'll give Shedeur credit. He is going to be covered like he was the third pick in the draft when he may not even be the third pick on the Cleveland Browns in their quarterback room. And that wouldn't be easy, and that would be embarrassing, and whether it's his fault, or it's Deion's fault, or it's our fault, or it's everybody's fault, he has been lifted up as this thing, this person, this storyline, to be covered like a star. He is a really interesting topic, And that expectation that we have all perhaps created, combined with the reality that he may not even be a starting quarterback, he may not even be on a roster in a few weeks, he could be cut, might make a lot of people snap at reporters, be pissed off. And Shadur, talking to the media over the weekend, was very, look, the young dude was impressive in basically saying the fact he's had no first-team reps, and by extension, it does not look like a guarantee, to say the least, he'll even be a part of this team. He handled that reality and those questions, I thought, very impressively.
That's not my place, you know, to answer, to even be able to give the answer to that. I feel like it's not in my control. So I'm not even going to think about that or have that even in my thought process of why it is. Like, it's a lot of people that want to have the opportunity to be at this level, and I'm here, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity. So whenever that is, it is. But it doesn't make me feel down, or it doesn't make me feel left out or anything, because I know who I am as a person.
Look, I know who I am as a person, too. It doesn't mean I should be your doctor, right? I didn't stay at that hotel last night. That has nothing to do with it. And I'm not trying to take shots at Shadur Sanders. And the raw stats, all right, they've had 4 days, right, 4 days of training camp where he's had an opportunity. He has not had first-team reps, so just remember that that is going to have an impact on the numbers. 8 of 11, 3 touchdowns, no picks in these simulated situations. Sometimes it's 11-on-11, sometimes it's 7-on-7, sometimes there's some adjustments. But and again, these aren't official stats. These are beat writers who are basically I've covered training camp. You're there. You don't have a great vantage point. And you're trying your best to kind of keep track. But that's what we think has happened. Flacco's 4-for-8, has not had a lot of opportunity because he probably doesn't need the opportunity. My read on this is that Flacco is... he's the backup at a minimum. He is the veteran. We know that he's been there a few years ago and had a really good experience. He's got some trust with the coaching staff. I don't know that Flacco's going to be the starter. Kenny Pickett, 6-for-10, a couple touchdowns, no picks. Now, that's worth the first team. He's gotten the most first-team reps. And Gabriel, 8-for-15 for a touchdown. And Ryan Hickey made this point. Ryan, you made this point this morning. It's a good one. Shadur Sanders being cut, which is very plausible, someone being cut is certainly plausible, would... maybe on the face of it look like a bit of a problem if you're the Browns at drafting a quarterback in the 5th round and letting him go. Only it's not nearly as significant as drafting a quarterback in the 3rd round, which is what they did with Gabriel, and cutting that guy. And so all else being equal, just because they've invested more and a lot higher draft pick in Dylan Gabriel, he's got the advantage, and he is getting more opportunities to play in situations that are going to prove, be a testing ground as best you can do that right now in a way that is sort of legitimate. They're not letting Shadur Sanders do much. They're not trusting him very much. They're not treating him like he's a star. You know what they're treating him like? A 5th-round pick they took a flyer on who may not work. And if he gets cut, if he's not a part of the Browns, where are you going? You're a highly hyped distraction, and it's not his fault necessarily, although it's a little his fault, our fault too, his dad's fault. You're a highly hyped distraction. And remember, I'm rooting for Shadur, but remember, this is a guy that took shots at other quarterbacks, lesser quarterbacks in college sometimes. Right? Was pretty happy to sort of weigh in when he thought he was the big dog. You're a lesser quarterback who's a distraction, who's a 5th-round pick. If you get cut, who gets cut? Who's signing you? You're not good enough to be a backup for the Cleveland Browns? You're not good enough to be the 3rd stringer for the Cleveland Browns? I don't think Andy Reid's pouncing. Oh, good. Now we got an opportunity for a backup. Maybe Jerry Jones will. Maybe that's your chance. I got to say, Ryan, I kind of abdicated strong opinions on Shadur when Colorado got off that good start a year and a half ago. Because, was that a year and a half ago? Yeah, man, time. Almost 2 years ago. Because I go, okay, I don't know what I don't know about Colorado and about Shadur. But it sure feels, and you talk me out of this, you watch a lot of college football, it sure feels like Shadur Sanders has already hit the peak of his career. And that was almost 2 years ago.
That September 2023, 3-0, everyone wanted a piece of them. I agree, like you said, the fact that, I mean, you think even though it's early in training camp, he can't get one rep with the first team, and maybe that'll change out with Kenny Pickett's hamstring injury and one less quarterback, a little bit more reps to go. But like you said, so far, early on at least, the writing's on the wall, and it's not looking very good.
And the difference, especially for young quarterbacks, speed of the game, mistake-making, the difference when you're in training camp going up against the first team defense, getting first team reps, then going against randos is huge. I think that we overblow training camp a lot. Look, I play tennis, and I used to play basketball a lot. When I played basketball, and I was playing pickup hoops, and, you know, it didn't matter, but I thought it mattered, I would go and warm up, right? I would go shoot hoops in the beginning, and nobody would go, Ryder just went 3 of 11 on his warm-up threes. He sucks. That's why you warm up. When I play tennis, my warm-up, I'm not necessarily hitting the ball as well, because that's why you warm up. Training camp, especially for young guys, is a warm-up to your career if you're a rookie. So I'm not going to give you all these actual quarterbacks who have real expectations, who are rookies this year, who are getting dominated at training camp, but there are some. There's one dude in particular who's thrown, I think, through five picks yesterday over the weekend. Part of the reason is because it's practice. It's warm-up. And part of the reason is they're going up against, if you have first-team reps, that means you're going up against really good players in the defensive end who want to solidify a spot, solidify a contract, solidify whatever it is. Shadur's not even getting that opportunity. And that's not that he's playing badly, but he's not even, they're not taking him seriously enough to test him at a level that even remotely approximates actual NFL football. Why? But they probably don't anticipate him playing actual NFL football for them. That's the read. That's the takeaway. Ryan, I ran out of time. We'll do Jerry Jones at the end of the show. We got to go here. But real quick, how was life without me? Did you miss me? Did you not miss me? You had a little time off. Did you party? How was your week last week?
It was good. Of course, missed you a lot. The show is not the same without your presence being here. And then the weekend was a lot of fun. Saw some college buddies, went down to the beach, got some nice sun, had a good time. But it's good to be back with you now.
We drove up to, I don't even know how to say it. I think it's past Paso Robles, but I want to call it Paso Robles because it's okay. And we drove up there, small little town, sort of wine country, beautiful country in Cali, in California. We went to Half Moon Bay, which is on the coast. We went to San Francisco. We went to San Luis Obispo. We just kind of bopped around, right? So we were in the car a lot. And I got the bird, I think, from four different people. At one point, I know it sounds like it's me. At one point, you know how when you're driving along and it's three lanes and there's construction or hey, America, sometimes the lane goes away and then you go every other? So we were going every other, right? We're two lanes merge into one lane. Every other car gets to go. I let the car go. And then this lady in a van tried to no, it's me. And she freaked out, was giving me the bird. My kids are like, Dad, that lady, my son loved it, flicking you off. Then she's following me and honking her horn. I'm like, lady, it's every other. I didn't even notice her. I'm just going every other over here.
What else did you do to warrant the other three birds flipped your direction?
I did cut one guy off, for sure.
Okay.
High rate of speed.
So yeah. One for one, or one and one, in the sense of you're in the wrong, they're
in
the wrong.
Well, in fairness, it was like a traffic jammy situation, and I was making some moves, and there was an opening, and I took it. I took the opening. No apologies.
Donovan McNabb or just a random person? You do not discriminate. You just cut everyone off in front of you.
Then another one, this is a pet peeve of mine. Did you know that the left lane on a highway is a passing lane? You're not supposed to just be in the left lane going 3 miles over the speed limit. Did you know this?
Yeah, yes.
I've been pulled over for this, by the way. I got pulled over by a cop once. He's like, hey, you didn't do anything wrong. This was in Missouri years ago. Just doing a public service. Left lane's a passing lane only, sir. I'm like, yeah, I know, man. Tell all the other people. So I did definitely come up, it was a 65. I wanted to go 72 or 80. And there was somebody going like 64. And I came up on him and, they got over and then they gave me the bird. I'm like, what do you want? Get in the right lane. Why are you going the same speed limit as the guy next? There's literally three cars on the highway. Me behind you, you, and the car in the right lane that you're even with for the last 10 miles. Both going 64. I should give you the bird, but I don't do that. It feels rude.
I will say I found it hard to believe that you would be in the right more than not when it comes to getting four birds flipped your direction.
These
three stories, I'll say two for one right now. You're in the right. That's crazy. That's so annoying.
There was a lot of construction. So people were just mad. By the way, it wasn't just us. I saw seven road rage incidents. People just freaking out, swerving cars. What's wrong? People are angry out there in their cars. Maybe take Amtrak or fly,
Take a chill pill or something. Jeez.
I had a nice look. Have you seen Happy Gilmore yet? Any Happy Gilmore review?
No, I've not seen Happy Gilmore.
I need to watch it. I need to watch it.
Okay.
All right. Have you seen the original?
I have, yes.
Okay, wow.
Yes.
That's an upset.
It is with my track record, but it is one of the few ones I have seen.
So I did not look at this, even though you sent it to me, because maybe you surprised me. Maybe you got creative. I don't know. You did five things. How do we frame this? Five things that I need to know from my when I missed on my vacation?
We'll frame it as five things you missed while on vacation to give you a chance to catch up.
Are any of them edgy? Like Stu got in a fight in the office or anything? Oh, you know what? Save it. We're going to find out. Five things you need to know that I missed from my time off last week after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, this Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com. After a 12-15 June, it appears the Mets have remembered how to be good at baseball.
Swung on and crushed the opposite way to left. Ramos going back. Warning track wall. Out of room and gone. Three rows deep and left. Opposite field, go ahead, solo shot for Juan Soto.
That's Pat McCarthy on Mets Radio. Soto breaking a 3-3 tie in the seventh. The Mets won in San Francisco on Sunday Night Baseball 5-3. It's a three-game sweep and a seven-game win streak. Their NL East lead over the Phillies is now a game and a half. The Royals reportedly giving righty starter Seth Lugo a two-year extension worth $46 million. Lugo was one of the bigger names bouncing around before Thursday's trade deadline. Chargers left tackle Rashawn Slater, now the highest paid O-lineman in league history. The four-year extension reportedly worth $92 million guaranteed. And the Minnesota Lynx now 14-1 at home this season after a 90-86 loss to Atlanta last night. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I have a theory of human beings that everyone's a total weirdo. And with most people, you can't figure out how. With you, we've gotten pretty quickly.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. Is this the Knight Rider song?
This is Busta Rhymes' Turn It Up, Fire It Up. Seeing that I've never seen Knight Rider, I don't know.
Yeah, that's you missed out on that.
Is that a classic?
That show is ridiculous. Do you know what it's about? Are you even familiar with what I'm talking about?
No.
An AI-generated car named Kit and David Hasselhoff go through America on adventures.
Oh, David Hasselhoff. The car's alive. To be honest, interesting. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. David Hasselhoff. What a career! Famous in Germany for no reason. Amazing. Amazing. All right. So I was gone last week on a little vacation where I got the bird from a bunch of people, and you revealed in the break you thought it was going to be all my fault all the time, and I revealed in the break it might have been.
You got that, you know, you're a West Coast guy and a Midwestern guy. We got that East Coast driving habit.
My mom's from New York, so there you go. Chris Thorne, by the way, on social media. Good morning, Bill. To hell with sports from this weekend. Let's talk about the new season of Dexter. I haven't seen it. Kind of gave up on Dexter in the first incarnation.
They're still making new episodes and series of Dexter. How old is that show?
Well, it went off in the air. I never saw the final season. Those of you that watched it will know the bathroom scene was kind of the end for me, the bathtub scene. And apparently, like a year or two ago, he was in one of the Dakotas and it was snowing and he was back. And now there's another one. I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
I missed it. I missed it like I missed last week. Last week, on vacation, the world kept on turning. It turns without you, Ryan. And you have put together five things we need to know about what I missed from my time off.
Your security clearance is on a need-to-know basis. And these are five things you need to know. Number one.
Stu has been fired.
Okay, wow. Bye. Oh, wrong segment.
No, unfortunately, that is not the case. But okay. Another... I was going to say something disparaging, but let's just keep it clean here.
I'll be disparaging. Lean into it.
I was going to say another clown. That'd be Cowboys owner Jerry Jones.
Ooh, that is disparaging.
Made some...
Stu was the first clown.
Yeah.
Got it. I liked it.
Stu is a clown. Maybe stuff Jerry Jones has is clown worthy because last week Jerry Jones had a press conference to start training camp, and he explained his hesitation as to why he does not yet want to pay Micah Parsons.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously, we've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott.
He can get hit by a car, seriously. And so there's a lot to look at over a lot of years that could make a big difference. Have you ever heard of any clubs committing to players and then they didn't pan out after they committed to them? We have.
Just to clean something up, by the way, Micah Parsons last year missed 4 games, not 6. But anyway, shots fired at the star DN trying to get paid. The next day, Micah Parsons had a chance to respond to what Jerry said. Take a listen.
I'm doing this for myself and my teammates. Like I said, this isn't for Jerry. This isn't for Steven. This is for guys like Trey. This is to help guys like Donovan, Sam, guys who I know I can get better just by being here and being there for them.
So Micah Parsons is present at training camp, but not practicing as he does wait a new deal.
So, as you probably do when I go on vacation, I tend to shut it down, right? I'm not really that connected. Jerry Jones is, people can get hit by cars, bubbled up through my barriers. Even I was aware of that. We're going to hit Jerry at the end of the show. I am aware that he got basically booed. Hey, Micah! I'm aware that Jerry said that the most talented player in the history of the universe is the player he won't pay. He said maybe the most talented cowboy of all time. Jerry's a hot mess. Honestly, the lady in the van should go find Jerry, and she should give him the bird, not me.
Number 2.
So on Friday, the Bengals and first-round pick Shamar Stewart agreed to a contract to end the 17th overall pick's holdout. Now, Stewart did agree to the new language the Bengals are pushing when it comes to guaranteed money, while Cincinnati agreed to pay a $500,000 bonus to Stewart now instead of waiting till December. Now, one DN's been figured out. Their other DN, star DN Trey Hendrickson, is in Florida, officially holding out as he awaits a new deal. He told The Athletic he went to Florida as to not be a distraction for the players at camp. Right now, there's reportedly the biggest holdup between the two sides is more about guaranteed money beyond the first year than it is about the total compensation.
This whole thing is a mess. By the way, it feels like Stewart lost here, doesn't it? This feels like what the Bengals were requiring of him in the language and what they got. It was unprecedented and cuts into what, in effect, should be money that he knows is coming if it doesn't work out. If he gets injured, his guarantee—it's not as if they were trying to—he was asking to be guaranteed $30 million. All of this to me, I don't usually love guys that hold out. I'm a big contract guy. You have a contract, live your contract. To me, Ryan, this is just a brutal reminder that the Bengals are still the Bengals, even if they have one of the most important quarterbacks in the NFL.
Number 3.
Speaking of holdouts, Terry McLaurin, Commanders wide receiver, did report to training camp on Sunday, where he's immediately placed on the physically unable to perform list with a quote-unquote ankle injury. So now Scary Terry won't practice, but will avoid at least getting fined $50,000 per day as he was accruing due to skipping training camp. And ESPN reported that as Terry is looking for a new deal, and despite showing up, the two sides right now are still pretty far away.
Let me ask you a question. How much do you care about guys that are holding? I mean, I know it's important. Most of these get worked out. Like, this feels like one that's going to get worked out.
I agree. I guess I'll say in this instance, with still a young quarterback in a year in which you're going for it, and I guess you could say that the goal is right, the Super Bowl, and it's realistic.
Yeah.
I would say any time missed is, I mean, it's not helpful. It's not beneficial.
Made the conference championship, right? I mean, that's obviously it's not beneficial. Here's the thing. Now, I don't know what Terry McLaurin wants or what his motivations are. You are in a good situation with what feels like a good culture and certainly an organization on the upswing. As you noted, you're playing football that's meaningful and that matters, that has the opportunity, realistically, to win a Super Bowl this year, right? You're not the Arizona Cardinals, where you're, we want to win a Super Bowl, and it's an eye roll. And so it just feels like they will, each of the player and the team have motivation to come to a deal.
Number 4.
1 weekend in training camp, unfortunately, around this time, one of the biggest storylines is injuries, and a few big names have suffered them already. Justin Jefferson, star receiver for the Vikings, suffered a mild hamstring strain and will be reevaluated later this week. Rams QB Matthew Stafford will not practice at all this week because of a back injury. He's considered week-to-week, at least right now. Week one still looks realistic for Stafford to play. Texans running back Joe Mixon missed most of training camp with a foot injury after rushing for 1,000 yards last year, which will open the door for newly signed running back Nick Chubb to get a lot of reps during the summertime. Jets QB Justin Fields, this is scary, dislocated his toe, was carted off the field on Thursday. Thankfully, though, has returned to practice. And finally, Browns QB Kenny Pickett injured his hamstring on Saturday, will be reevaluated later this week.
The Pickett thing might be the most impactful because of the fact it's a four-quarterback race. I thought the Justin Fields thing was the most interesting because when it first happened, oh no, was my exact thought. My reaction was this poor dude cannot catch a break. And then my reaction when he came back the next day was this is a tough guy. And he knows he's got to play. He's got to play. He's got to be out there.
Number five.
Oh, he did it. That's part of the magic of the segment.
I'm sorry. I jumped again. I'm so excited.
I did the long pause. You know who does a long pause is Ephraim Salaam.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so tough.
He does the long pause. Because he's so smart, he's like thinking, right?
Is he done? Is he mid-sentence? Right. I don't know. I just did that. My apologies.
It's all good. I'm not the lady in the van. I'm not going to randomly give you the bird for no reason. She was so mad.
That's crazy.
She was so mad.
People these days. That's all you got to say. People.
I will say this. It looked like she was having a rough day. Or week. Or month.
Or year.
Or decade. Yeah.
You know what? If she was able to get some anger out on you, then I guess you're a good guy. There you go. You're her.
I'm a good man.
Let's finish here. So last few weeks ago, right, Greg McElroy set the world on fire talking about Nick Saban possibly returning to coaching. Well, Nick Saban appeared on Fox News and discussed his potential in returning back to his profession.
I never really ever had a thought about getting back into coaching until 2 days ago. Miss Terry said I had to run the sweeper in the entire downstairs. So while I was running the sweeper, the thought occurred to me, you know, when you were coaching, you had a heck of a lot better job than this.
He also did go on to say, quote, there's no opportunity that I know of right now that will entice me to go back to coaching. I enjoy what I'm doing right now and want to continue to do it and spend more time with my family, my grandchildren, my children. It's been really, really good.
Nick Saban is low-key hilarious, and I think it gets missed sometimes. That was the thing that struck me in my 1 hour, the first hour I ever spent with him, where he was just brutal for 50 minutes and then charming and funny. When he first started cracking jokes, it took me a second to adjust. Wait, I thought you hated me. I thought I was stupid. But now we're laughing together, and he's so funny, man. Miss Terry made it vacuum. I believe that, by the way. I believe he was down there vacuuming.
Oh, 100%.
Did he call it a sweeper?
Sweeper.
He means vacuum.
That's how I took it as. Yeah, I think so.
He's not down there with a broom.
And the dustpan, like on his knees, sweep. That could get you back into coaching real quick.
It sure could. Let's talk some hoops. Haven't done that in a minute. We'll visit with my buddy Kurt Heelan from NBC Sports next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right. Good morning. Happy Monday. Bill Writer with you. Kurt Heelan is on Exit Basketball Talk. He's NBC Sports lead NBA writer and managing editor. And he's a hell of a good guy. He joins me right now on the show. Happy summer, Mr. Heelan. How's it going, pal?
It's going pretty well. How have you been, man?
I'm good. Just got back from a little family vacation up north, driving around sort of the Central Coast, where I got the bird from four different people over the course of my driving. A lot of angry people out there driving.
Does that speak to your driving or just angry people?
We were evaluating it. Apparently, so far, I'm 2-1. Two where it wasn't my fault. One where I get... Look, you tell me. If someone's in the left lane on a two-lane highway and there's three of you and they're going the exact same speed as the person in the right lane and they're going 2 miles over the speed limit, are you the jerk for coming up behind him and flashing the lights and be like, hey, please get over? Or are you supposed to just go super slow for 20 miles? That's the crux of the
question. I think you're okay there. I think if you've got in a two-lane highway like that, yeah, if you're, don't pace the person next to you, man. Get out of the way.
Get over. Let me ask you the most important question that exists right now in sports. Have you seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet? Because I have not.
I have not, no.
Okay. Is it on your to-do list?
Yeah, eventually. That is one of those, and, you know, is right now is the time where my wife, the teacher, is off, and I am off and slowed down, and so we're actually doing family stuff. And that's not one I will watch with my wife. That is not her genre, okay, shall we say. So sure. At some point, though, I will stop and watch it. It is definitely on the list.
Well,
even though I fear
yeah.
for it. Yeah.
Me too. I've heard mixed reviews. I heard a buddy watched it last night, told me it was good. Kurt Heelan, speaking of farcical sports topics, let's talk about LeBron James. I can't even keep track. Should I read anything into this not so cryptic on the nose social media post with Nikola Jokic's agent talking about summer of 2025 is a great time to make plans for fall of 2026?
LeBron doesn't post anything accidentally. Like, it's just, that was a little, yeah, that was definitely, look, it's definitely a message. Logistically, I'm not even going to get into, like, how the heck do you get him to Denver? Like, unless he goes unless he opts out as a free agent. You know, he opts out. He becomes a free agent next year. If he's willing to sign for an exception or the minimum or something, you know, if LeBron's willing to take, I don't know Denver's payroll, but if he's willing to take the taxpayer mid-level or something, if, you know, $5 million, then yeah, sure. He can go anywhere he wants. I'm just, is LeBron really going to do that? That said, I think there is a growing sense, and tell me if you feel differently. I think there's a growing sense around the league that he plays this season out with the Lakers, and then we'll see what happens. That it's probably not ending there. He probably goes somewhere. He probably plays one more year, and it's probably not with the Lakers.
That's exactly
but what that looks. But yeah, but what does that look looks like? Well, I could say that's the question is, again, he can go anywhere he wants if he's willing to go to New York or back to Cleveland or wherever, if he's willing to take a big enough discount, or Denver, where he would certainly be competing for a title. The other part of that to me is, like, every time I've talked to somebody is that there's also this, like, and he'll turn 41 in December. Like,
right.
Let's let this season play out. Like, there's a certain level of he's going to play this one out. The Lakers, by the way, should be good. Like, that is still a good team with some flaws during the regular season, but, like, with Doncic and LeBron, and if they actually get Ayton playing, you can make a case for them to make a little playoff run. Then we'll see where he goes. Then he'll look at his options and play it out. But, again, if he's willing to take a discount to play one last season for $5 million somewhere, then, yeah, he can go anywhere he wants.
Kurt Heelan, let's dive into this a little bit more, because we've got this cryptic social media post. We've got, obviously, LeBron expressing, it feels like, some frustrations. We've got to your point about this idea that he probably will be somewhere else next year if he wants to be somewhere else. I think it was Mark Stein report that the Lakers plan, their hope, right, what they'd like is for him just to be an expiring contract, his $52 million and change, play this year, and then he's gone next summer because he is no longer under contract. If that's what happens, if you have LeBron who is a little bit put out and reacting accordingly and very deliberate about the messages he puts out, and he knows that it's Luka's team, and he's in L.A. all year as the number two, and it's clear the Lakers don't want him and didn't offer him a deal, how does that work? How do you think the vibe, the chemistry is with a disgruntled LeBron James?
That becomes my bigger question, which is or big question for the Lakers this season, or one of them anyway, is he really disgruntled, or is he really just, I mean, disgruntled enough to leave as a free agent? Sure. Be disruptive, be pouty. I mean, he's certainly done it at points during his career, but not really when it's mattered.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a little bit more performative as opposed to going full Jimmy Butler in Minnesota or something, you know, where he's just like, that's not going to happen. But I am curious. I got a feeling once he gets there and gets out there, he's when he's on the court, he'll be fully committed. And again, any team with him and Luka Doncic, like, got questions about the Lakers' defense and do they have enough shooting and a few other things. Get to the playoffs, man. That team just instantly becomes a tough out.
All right, let me ask you a question that I have been asked a couple times in the last 3 weeks on Cleveland radio. It is the topic of that sort of takes place in Cleveland, and you sort of mentioned this, so I'm curious your vantage point, and I think it's interesting that there's a stark level of disagreement in that city. A year from now, you are the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you want LeBron James on that team?
Ooh. That is a very good question, and it comes back to a little bit. By the way, I've been asked that on a Cleveland radio as well about, you know, would LeBron come there? Because I had written in the short term it wasn't going to happen, that it wasn't going to happen this year, that the trade wasn't happening, and that they'd be stupid to, because if the trade is Darius Garland at 25, like, dude, just don't. You can't. Again, I want to see how this season plays out, but if they fall short, if Cleveland is Cleveland and they win, they're going to be the number one seed. They're deep. They're talented. They won 64 games last year. They'll probably win high 50s this year. They'll come in as the one seed. If they don't at least reach the finals, then yeah, bringing back, especially if he's willing to do it at a discount so you're not breaking up that roster. If he's willing to go there, if they think they're close and, man, LeBron will come here and do it for $5 million, that's an interesting story. If it's, man, we got to trade, break up all this stuff to make it happen, then, man, I don't know what team they're out there really willing to blow it up for 41-year-old LeBron anymore. Like, nor should they, by the way.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Kurt Hillen hanging out here on the show. Kurt, did anything happen in Summer League that struck you as noteworthy, as legitimately indicative of something good or bad? Because my view on Summer League tends to normally be, outside of watching whoever the number one pick is for the 30 seconds he gets to play, that it's not as big a deal as it is in a sort of an event. But sometimes, you know, you get glimpses of things. Did anything out of Summer League catch your eye?
A couple of things. One, though, like there are certain players that look good. Kyle Filipowski won the MVP. He looked great for the Jazz. He looks like a guy who should be getting more run, and they might be building something there slowly in Utah. They've got a ways to go, but you know, you can see it. Dylan Harper, by the way, I hadn't seen him in person. Body control, the smooth and stuff, like, you can see where with that guy in a couple of years is. He's not the odd man out in San Antonio because he's the best of that second tier group. He's not Wemby, but he's the best of Fox and Castle. So that was interesting. The one other thing of note, Bill, just something to watch going into next season, coming off of everybody watching the Pacers make the finals, the number of guys picking up and teams picking up full court defensively and pressuring the whole way and trying to get teams, you know, like the Pacers did in the final, well, all through the playoffs and through the finals, where they're pressuring up the court, get teams into their stuff later, try to create an odd turnover or two and a couple easy buckets. That was rampant. And it's kind of an interesting, I'm curious to see if that flows over into the season and if we start to see a lot more full court pressure than we've seen.
So, Kurt, let me ask you this question in this context. That's really interesting. Kurt Hillen from NBC Sports. Obviously, we're seeing Achilles tears, and Halliburton just said he thinks it's bad luck. I am curious to what extent you or people you talk to think that, look, the game's more physical than it was, and people move, yeah, right? And if all of a sudden multiple teams are doing what you just described and basically picking up opposing offenses from jump, right, and full, pressuring full court, is there a world where this Achilles problem continues, or do you think... Or do you think Halliburton's right? This is just a bad stretch and everything will revert to the mean?
That's a good question. I fear, for me, and this gets into a much deeper well, that the Achilles tears come back to another injury and just stylistic problem we have in the NBA, which is too many young guys. Like, you specialize in the sport. You are playing by 10 if you're, you know, especially if you're somebody who's someday playing in the NBA. probably starting to stand, not probably, you're standing out already at, you know, 10, 11, 12. You're getting on a good AAU team. You're now playing in games year-round, multiple games a weekend on the same. And it's an issue, not, by the way, baseball's dealing with this, a bunch of stuff, where when you specialize with a sport at a younger age, now you're wearing out the muscles. You're not balanced, right? You're wearing out the muscles. And so you're just putting more strain on the tendon and the muscles that support it longer than. And so I think it's just that is an overuse injury. And if you're playing 80 games a year at age 13, man, well, you know, in AAU settings on hard courts, and this isn't just pick up with your friends and stuff, like, it wears you out, man.
It's amazing you say that, because there's a young man in my community, and I'm not judging him or his parents, but just to your point, who apparently is so good at pickleball, that he is on track to maybe be I don't know, 10, 11, 12. He's on track to maybe be a professional pickleball player, and he plays pickleball, 7 or 8 or 9 hours a day. And I think maybe his school is built around that. I read in the newspaper here. And I live, and you live in LA too. I live in a community where a lot of parents are trying to make their kids professional athletes starting at age 5. It's crazy. It's unhealthy.
Yep. There are a lot of parents. Yeah. Youth sport. And as somebody who had a daughter's who's had, look, man, my middle daughter was a fairly high level a soccer player. My daughter is all moral league in down here in Long Beach in lacrosse. Like it is kind of wild to watch how hard some parents push yes. for that and put money towards it. Especially, like you said, you're up in Manhattan. There are parents with money.
Yeah.
With specialized coaches and travel teams and all. Hey, you're going to volleyball camp for 6 weeks in Indianapolis or whatever crazy thing it is. The problem is it's a lot of people making a lot of money doing it, and suddenly,
scams, dude. See, a guy in my community, I live in Southern California, a guy in my community that I like, his son, I guess, is a pretty good hockey player, and in the summertime, he joins a Canadian traveling team, and they fly all over look, I'm not good at geography, but I'm pretty sure LA is not close to Toronto, last I checked.
No, although Toronto is one of the great cities of North America.
It is a great
should visit
city,
there,
dude.
By the way.
It's a great city. Nobody
but
knows.
Yes, no.
Yeah.
No, it's funny, actually, if you've done this with players where, like, especially younger players are kind of like, man, Toronto, I don't know. And nobody wants to go there in February, don't get me wrong. But, like, older players who have been in the league a while are kind of like,
they
know. Toronto's good, man. Like, they know, like, Toronto's a great city, man.
There's a variety of reasons that it's very yes.
Yes, I wasn't gonna delve all.
No,
the way
yeah,
into
I'm
that.
With you.
Yes, there are a variety of reasons, and
not
the smart listeners
them all.
Out there will put it together. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Not endorsing them all. Kurt Heelan, it's good to hear your voice, pal. Appreciate you coming on the show. Great stuff. Enjoy your downtime, and someday we will have the long-awaited drink that we've been promising each other. And I have a lot more time in my hands.
Exactly.
So you let me know. I'm around.
I'll text you, man. I promise. Like, no, we'll actually do it. We'll pull it off. We'll get it together.
All right, dude. Hey, pal, thanks for being on the show.
Take care, man.
See you, buddy. Kurt Heelan on the program. Kurt Heelan is on the old exit basketball talk. Does his thing. Plies his trade. Crushes it. Kills it. Dominates. For NBC Sports. Good stuff. 888-710-4ISN. I like that Kurt Heelan, Ryan. I like his vibe. I like his energy.
I like the chemistry you two have.
Apparently he's got great athletic genes. I didn't know his daughters were killing it. Soccer, lacrosse.
Not bad. Good for Kurt. He's got it all.
Kurt, healing the world with sports excellence. Got one in. What do we got rocking in buy or sell today? What's the vibe in the old buy or sell?
Vibe is high, including a discussion of really, we're going to tackle what makes man the happiest person on this planet.
Okay. A soliloquy, a philosophy on man. Next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Unnecessary shots at the Golden Goose. By the way, not all geese are worthy of it, but a Golden Goose is a Golden Goose. I happen to think Caitlin Clark's talented. What makes a talented goose? I don't know. But treat the Golden Goose well is probably a good philosophy.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Man, I got Golden Goose into that clip a lot of times. I just Golden Goosed it all over the place, Ryan. Golden Goose, Golden Goose, Golden Goose.
What animal are you talking about? I missed it.
Golden Goose, pal. Have you ever seen the Disney film, what was it called? The Duck That Laid Golden Eggs. That's not what it's called. But it's about, it's a duck, and they get a pet duck, and then they screw up the recipe for the food, and the wind blows the recipe, and the mom doesn't notice, and then it eats it, and then it starts laying golden eggs.
Does not ring a bell.
No one's seen this movie. It's amazing.
Is it animated, or is it?
No.
Huh.
I'm gonna.
Is this a newer Disney movie, or is like
this would be very old, even before my time? But I just kind of the Million Dollar Duck
does not
released in 1971. A research duck that accidentally starts producing solid gold eggs after being exposed to radiation. No,
that's a Disney movie. Wow. Okay.
edgy by Disney standards.
Very.
Yeah. Then the serial killer plot twist happens, and you don't even know what's going on. Should we do a little buy or sell? There.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Hello, amigo.
Hello, Bill. Mickey Mouse had some different editorial standards back in the day, huh?
It was Pluto the whole time.
Let's talk college football. Because at ACC Media Days last week, Bill, UNC head coach Bill Belichick said his personal life hasn't been a distraction, citing all it is just noise. Now, Tar Heels receiver Jordan Shipp said that he's rarely seen Jordan Hudson at the facility and that the team isn't distracted at all by these reports. Buy or sell, you believe that Bill Belichick is focused heading into this season?
I'll buy that he is. I'm not sure that everybody else is. I mean, what is Jordan Shipp going to say? Oh, yeah, bro, she's everywhere, man. She's the worst. Can I still transfer to Duke? I mean, what's he going to say?
Fair. That's a company line that I'm sure either he was fed or was smart enough to know beforehand.
Look, I'm all about journalism and doing great work. Asking these players, this would be like if somebody showed up at your office with your boss standing next to you. Go, hey, do you think Bert's an idiot? And your boss is Bert. You wouldn't go, oh, yeah, Bert sucks. Bert's the best. I think Mike is a great boss.
But if there was one group of people that would give the honest truth without even realizing that it would hurt them, it would be just even college kids in general, right? They don't know. They don't know sometimes. They think they're brazen and untouchable.
I don't know. I think you'd be afraid. I think the more likely that there's a problem, the more likely you are it's on lockdown. I don't want Jordan yelling at me again.
It's not even Bill that they're afraid of. It's Jordan.
No, they're not afraid of Bill at all. He's a softy.
Oh, that is funny. That is funny. Let's go from a softy to a soft spot in your heart.
Oh, I love that transition.
The Chicago Bears. Because Caleb Williams said this year his goal is to make history, which is to become the first Bears quarterback to ever throw for 4,000 yards in a season. Last year, Williams threw for 3,541 yards and 20 touchdowns while also being sacked a league high 68 times. New offensive line, new head coach. I'll ask you, Bill, buy or sell. This year, Caleb Williams will be the first Bears quarterback to eclipse 4,000 yards.
Well, let me point out that it's easier to do now. There's 17 games and not 16, so that's, an extra 300. So you're really aiming for, on average, what would have back in the day been 3,700, 3,650.
True.
Sell. It's the Bears. I mean, come on.
Sell.
Let me ask you a question. Not a better question. It's a great question. Let me just ask you a different question. Okay.
Right.
Buy or sell, Caleb Williams will be sacked, will play, if he plays the entire season, will be sacked fewer than 30 times this season.
Sell.
If you had to guess, what would you guess?
I would say probably like 35, I think he does have some tendencies he has to work on of getting the ball out quicker. The offensive line is bad. Like, I think going from 68 to 35, I know it's still a high number, is pretty good from year one to year two. What would you say to your own question? Would you buy that or sell that?
Man.
Those are 30s a lot. Like, that's basically twice a game. Every game.
I know. I'm going to buy that it'll be less.
Buy.
His passing over-under, by the way, is 3,500 yards this year, which is not awful.
I mean, obviously, injury, right, is a big risk. That feels like new head coach, new O-line, good it weapons.
It has to work. Yeah, I mean, there's no... If he's as good as we think, there's no reason it can't work.
Right. Just how strong is that Bears curse, I guess,
but
right?
It could not, but it could definitely not work. It's the Bears. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Let's go from a questionable quarterback to a guy who's made his imprint on the league, we'll say, to say the least, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Because earlier today, Bill, Madden,
talk to me.
26, you know, the video game, released their 99 club membership for this upcoming year. They had two quarterbacks in it, neither which was Patrick Mahomes. It was Lamar Jackson. It was Josh Allen. Buy or sell, Patrick Mahomes got snubbed from the 99 club.
Buy. This is so stupid. How are you going to put Lamar Jackson as a higher rated quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? Have we lost our minds?
Maybe Madden doesn't account for the playoffs? And that's gotta be the only belief, right? I mean,
I don't know. I just he's the best quarterback in football. Buy or sell, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football.
Buy.
I mean, it's not even a question.
Do you want to hear the other members of the club?
Yeah, I do. You want to throw Josh Allen in a 99? Do it. Yes. But Mahomes has to be on there.
Do you let me ask you this? Forget about like subbing one for another. Do you have a problem with just the general notion that Lamar Jackson is a 99?
Yes, buy. I do. Yes.
Buy.
So the two quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. The other players are Lane Johnson, right tackle for the Eagles. Jamar okay. Chase, receiver, obviously, for the Bengals. Saquon yep. Barkley got in there. Justin Jefferson
fair.
And Myles Garrett. Seven players. None of them named Patrick Mahomes.
No Micah Parsons, given the fact he's the best cowboy in the history of the world?
No. Not off the list.
What is Mahomes? Is he 98?
I have to check and see. They've only... Okay, see more Madden rankings below. Let's see.
I mean...
They don't say, of course.
It's all good. I just... I find it to be the height of stupidity. This anti-Mahomes... This... Here's my theory. You tell me if you think this. I think that people are just... I think they're tired of it, of him. I think they're just... He's not the new shiny thing anymore. Buy or sell, you think that's true?
Buy.
I bet Tom Brady, I don't know this, I would venture to believe that in the 15-year run of Tom Brady, over a 15-year stretch, he was only the top-rated quarterback once. They probably have Peyton Manning up there all the time.
It is funny. Like, isn't like Mahomes kind of really transferred into Brady? In the sense of like when he came into the league, right, he put up some big numbers and right. was like eye-popping. Now right. his numbers for his standard,
yes, I agree,
are pedestrian. And like Brady, like in his even in his height, it's like he was leading the league in passing
yes.
yards every year, or passing touchdowns. But it's like close game. There's no one you're taking over Tom Brady.
Weirdly, I think both of those coaches, and I'm surprised by this from Andy Reid, have asked those two guys to manage games more often than dominate them. I've actually wondered this, and I should ask this of Ty Dunn next time. I sometimes wonder if maybe they're holding back a little bit in terms of what they're showing for the playoffs and allowing those guys to be at second gear. Because Brady and Mahomes are unstoppable when it matters most. It's bizarre.
Just, this is going to get you mad. Just to confirm here, so this I'm on the Madden ratings website.
Oh, no.
And I found this. They have Patrick Mahomes' rating for Madden 26 at a 95.
That is obscenely stupid.
95.
Which is...
What's Joe Burrow?
Let's see.
Here. It's fine. I don't want you to have to...
I bet you Joe Burrow's probably 98. Joe Burrow's a 96.
All right, next question. This is dumb.
Three NFL stars are looking for new deals, and they are making their displeasure known. Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin and Cowboys star Micah Parsons are both at training camp, but neither are practicing, while Bengals defensive end Trent Hendrickson is holding out to get a new deal altogether. Buy or sell of these three stars, Trent Hendrickson will be the first one of these three to get a new deal.
It's hard to gauge the Cowboys and what they're doing ever. I'll sell.
Sell.
Buy or sell, the Bengals are run worse than the Cowboys.
Sell.
That's a tricky one, isn't it?
That's tough. At least their owner, while he is very cheap, is not bashing players the way Jerry Jones is.
And they have a good GM, I think.
Yes.
And your constraints are from ownership or your constraints, right?
Yeah. Jerry's a sideshow in and of himself.
I have a total non sequitur. Are you ready?
Yes.
This was a question my wife asked me yesterday. Buy or sell that you would want to eat skillet meatballs with peaches, basil, and lime.
Buy.
Okay. You don't even like anything. You don't like any food.
I mean, I maybe avoid the peaches, but that was the only thing that kind of was like, I don't know. But it sounds pretty good.
But you don't like lemon.
I hate lemon. But like, I can deal with it.
Yeah, it just sounds weird, doesn't it?
Right. It's an interesting combo, but I think sometimes the most interesting combos that sound bizarre at first are usually the best ones that taste good.
That sums up this show.
All righty. So how about this? Let's go to some basketball. Okay. Nugget star Nikola Jokic, maybe had his dreams come true, as yesterday his horse won a race in Serbia, and the NBA star is overcome with emotion. Jokic is seen crying tears of joy, popping champagne, and even lifted both the jockey and the cart. The jockey was riding up for a celebratory picture. Buy or sell, you believe Nikola Jokic was happier winning this race than he was winning the NBA Finals?
Buy.
Buy.
It was fun to see him horsing around.
Buy.
Thank you.
I like that. That was good.
Jokic is a weirdo in that way. Buy or sell, I had this thought. I want to give you a theory, and you can sell it. Buy or sell that you think part of the reason Jokic is so good at basketball is because he doesn't care enough to be bothered by it.
Buy.
Maybe that's why he doesn't feel the pressure.
Pressure able to get past a poor game quicker than maybe others that harp on it.
It's not horse racing.
It's not the Serbian Derby.
I don't get horse racing, but I'm still happy for his joy.
Same. Good for him. Imagine he won the Kentucky Derby. I think his life would be made, that's for sure. Well, it does seem unlikely, Bill, that LeBron James will be traded from the Lakers this season. LeBron has already started planting the seeds for next season. He was seen over the weekend with Nikola Jokic's agent, and the caption on Instagram was posted that said, "Summer of 2025 is the perfect time to make big plans for the fall of 2026. LeBron has also been rumored to be interested in teaming up with Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis in Dallas. Buy or sell? The Nuggets are the front runner to land LeBron James next season.
I'm going
to
sell. I'm going to get.
Sell.
If I told you I think he's going to play, I would go Dallas.
Okay. Reuniting with his boy and the guy he always, two boys.
Yeah. I mean, the question is he willing to take less money? What does that look like? But he'd have to take less money to go to Denver anyway.
Can I ask you this question? That's actually fascinating. If he, let's just say you're right, he goes back to Dallas or goes to Dallas actually to team up with Anthony Davis. Do you think that would put to bed / confirm that he did not actually get Anthony Davis traded?
Well, I'm the person who put that out there, so I can speak to that. Here's the thing. This is where LeBron called me a bleeping lie. LeBron is moody, right? I had this lockdown. A year and a half before Anthony Davis got traded, LeBron was over AD. Then they figured it out because LeBron is a moody guy. LeBron hated Chris Bosh and then didn't, right? LeBron hated Spoelstra and then didn't. I never reported that he got him traded. I said that it's worth noting that the previous season LeBron was over him. I think it's become clear since that Luka trade went down that the Lakers, that Luka trade made the Lakers, it placed them into the post-LeBron era immediately. And so they didn't care. They didn't care what LeBron thought. So no, I don't think it was LeBron.
I don't really have a question for you here to finish.
Okay.
But I just want to more just kind of get your overall thoughts. So I found the Madden ratings for Madden 26 for quarterbacks.
Okay.
Now, they do have Lamar, like, even though Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are both 99s, this website has Lamar Jackson 1, Josh Allen 2, just for to get it specific. Joe Burrow was 3, Patrick Mahomes 4 at a 95, and then the fifth quarterback ranked in Madden 26, Jared Goff.
Oh, really?
At an 88. Do you want to guess who's after Jared Goff, since I kind of stole your thunder for a top 5?
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is 9th.
Where's C.J. Stroud?
C.J. Stroud is 15th with an 81.
Do the people that buy or sell the people that do Madden football have ever watched a football game in their lives?
Sell.
Who's 6, 7, 8? What's the list?
So the top 5 after, you know, or 5 through 10, Jared Goff 5. Jalen Hurts 6, 87.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Brock Purdy 7 at an 86. He's tied with Justin Herbert, also 86. Justin Herbert comes in at 8. And then rounding out the top 10, JD Daniels, 9 at an 85. Matthew Stafford, also an 85, comes in at number 10.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers, 20th.
That sounds accurate. All right, bye. Good job, Madden. You did watch the
bye. Bye.
Let's double down on Jerry Jones. Let's listen to him tell on himself after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Bill Commanders receiver Terry McLaurin is at training camp, but not really doing anything. Still wanting that extension. He is technically on the PUP list with an ankle issue. He was asked this morning if being on site is helping negotiations.
Just taking it day by day.
That was his answer to two other similar questions. The no contract issues, meanwhile, across the country, where the Chargers and left tackle Rashawn Slater finalized a long-expected extension yesterday, 4 years and reportedly $92 million guaranteed dollars. Slater is now the highest-paid O-lineman ever. The Cowboys have lost potential starting left guard Rob Jones to a broken bone in his neck. That, according to ESPN, Jones suffered the injury late in yesterday's practice. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 months. And Jets QB Justin Fields returned to full practice this morning, 4 days after suffering that dislocated toe. Sunday Night Baseball in San Francisco, the Mets rallying for a 5-3 win over the Giants, extending their win streak to 7. Those Giants now 7 games back in the NL West, 3 games away from a wild card spot. And former NBA player Marcus Morris arrested in Florida yesterday on a fraud charge. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Man, Jerry Jones, let's just say the quiet part out loud, okay? He doesn't seem to be as sharp or as focused or as committed or as interested or as hell-bent on success as he used to be. I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong with Jerry. This is not the Jerry from 10 or 15 years ago. And even that Jerry was imperfect. Tony Romo didn't work out. Not in the sense of actual winning. Parcells didn't work out. Nothing has worked out since Jimmy left. And I suppose if you want to quibble, you can go Barry Switzer, but he was drafting off of what Jerry put together. But by the standards of today, the post-Switzer era, the post-Jimmy era, I'm saying after those guys, was football heaven compared to what we have right now. So Micah Parsons is, as you know, is unhappy that he doesn't have a deal. He wants a deal. He wants to get paid. He should get paid. Jerry hasn't paid him. We told you earlier in the show, we let you hear that Jim won't play it again. But Jerry said people get hit by cars. Which, by the way, what? Yeah, what is that? Are you going to go to the dentist for your toothache? I don't know. People get hit by cars. What are you talking about? Yeah, here's a tip. Live life like you're not going to get hit by a car and look both ways when you cross the street. That's kind of the best approach. But then Jerry, this is on Fox 4 Dallas, had this weird over-the-top praise for the very guy he doesn't want to give a bunch of money to.
I think Mike is as talented, maybe the most talented player we've had. And Dion, of course, had extraordinary talent. But Mike is very talented, and he is very smart. And so all of that makes a great asset for the Cowboys.
What are we talking about here? You know what? I'm going to play this. So here is Jerry. This is actually, I just want you to hear it. Here is Jerry from last Monday. I just want you to hear the. So he just said Micah Parsons is the most talented Cowboy of all time, which, by the way, he's not. I think Micah Parsons is really good. He's not more talented than Deion Sanders. What are you talking about? Okay. But again, I'll just let him explain. So why won't Jerry pay the most talented player in the history of the universe? Because of the cars, people.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt six games last year. Seriously, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out two-thirds of the year, Dak Prescott.
He can get hit by a car, seriously. And so there's a lot to look at over a lot of years that could make a big difference. Have you ever heard of any clubs committing to players and then they didn't pan out after they committed to them? We have.
It's just someone who isn't fully navigating the ship effectively. What are you talking? By the way, first of all, he didn't miss six games. He missed four games. So Jerry's got it wrong. Secondly, guys aren't going to play well. Okay. All right. Guys are going to get hurt. All right. Guys are going to get hit by cars? What are you talking about? I'm shocked Jerry didn't continue with, well, we have a lot of cars in the Metroplex. We don't have a subway system. There's more risk of the cars and the being hit by them. And to Micah Parsons' credit, he's been a pro. He's at training camp. He's around. He hasn't taken a lot of shots. But you can hear the professionalism, but also the frustration with the Jones family in his words when he faced the media.
I'm doing this for myself and my teammates. Like I said, this isn't for Jerry. This isn't for Steven. This is for guys like Trey. This is to help guys like Donovan, Sam, guys who I know I can get better just by being here and being there for them.
That's from last week. Here's the thing. The Micah Parsons story is interesting. And he has been incredibly effective over the last 5 years. He's an amazing football player. And while I don't think he's the best Cowboy of all time, I don't think it's unreasonable to sort of have that conversation. What's unreasonable is to have the conversation and not pay him. Jerry saying he's the best Cowboy of all time is what you say when you give him $80, $100 million guaranteed or whatever the number is. Doesn't make sense. What this saga showcases, what it underscores, the bigger takeaway is that the Cowboys are run by an owner in Jerry Jones who's lost the plot. And the reason that they haven't won for years, the reason they're underwhelming, the reason they're not a threat in a fairly soft NFC, the reason they're not going to be Super Bowl champions probably in Jerry's lifetime, the reason that America's team is actually America's embarrassment, if we're going to draw that line, is because of the owner. And they're not well run. And I don't want to, and I've said this, I don't want to take shots at their coach, their new coach, because I loved Marty Schottenheimer as a human being. Brian Schottenheimer is, look, I hope I'm wrong, is probably in that job. His lack of experience, his inability to get this job in the past, the way in which it's not inspiring are probably not accidents. They're probably part of the design. They're a feature, not a bug. Because that's someone who won't push back on Jerry, who won't get frustrated, who won't, in the locker room or at the lunch table, say, what the hell are we doing here? Who will say, yes, sir, thank you, may I have another? And that's not a Schottenheimer problem. I shouldn't be the coach of the Cowboys. And if Jerry offered me the job tomorrow at a third of whatever that job is supposed to take, I would take the job. And I would probably be like, thank you, sir, can I have another paycheck? Or whatever it is. The Micah Parsons thing is just another bit of evidence. It's another symptom of the disease the Cowboys are suffering from, and that disease is Jonesism. He has long since lost his grip on how to effectively run a football team. Not at making money. not producing cash, not at Jerry World. And that's what I don't know. Is Jerry a bad owner from a football success perspective because he's just not good anymore? Or is that also a feature and not a bug? Does he not care because it's a money-making machine? He sells the idea that he cares because that benefits his bottom line. I don't know. I do know the Cowboys aren't a threat because their owner won't allow them to be on the football field. Ryan, I grew up in a time where the Cowboys were dominant, were great. I went to college when the Cowboys were coming off their run, and I was friends with a lot of guys from Texas because I went to Missouri. A lot of Texans came up to Missouri. I came down from Iowa. Guys that I love, friends of mine. In fact, two of the dudes, I was their, the best man in their weddings. They were so obnoxious as Cowboy fans, so obnoxious that I hated, not even hated, yes, I hated the Cowboys for years. I wanted them to lose. I almost want them to win out of sympathy. They're a punchline.
They are. And I feel, yeah, like I said, the fans are doing nothing wrong. They want the team to win. And they are right now trapped by an owner who, I'm with you, I think cares more about the bottom line than he does right now wins in the win column.
You know, it's not a punchline. You.
Wow.
Freshen is the executive producer of the show.
Wow. Thank you, Bill. That's
great.
Great
work. Good to be back. Good to be back in the mix.
Hardest day in theory down. First day back from vacation. Crushed it.
The alarm did go off a little early today.
You weren't waking up at the same time on vacation, huh?
You know what? I used to sleep till 2 in the afternoon. I definitely woke up every morning at 8 in the morning, but it's different than 4 in the morning.
A little bit. Not
It was
not
pretty
bad.
Luxurious.
Wake up with the sun's out. Big difference, huh?
Yeah, big difference. Thank you to Kurt Heelan for being on the show. Thank you to Ryan Hickey for crushing it. Great work as always. Thank you to Aaron Rodgers for creating content for us. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We appreciate you spending time with us. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Infinity Sports Network.